Okay, let's harmonize.
Yinzi. Roof. Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like to prioritize our self-care and we like spooky things. So, Danae, before you break in, what did you do this week for self-care?
This week, I had a craft night with my friend Corey.
What did you craft?
So, we had like a whole bunch of different vases and like wine glasses and shit. And we painted them.
Oh, that's so fun.
I mean, we only painted, like, one each, and then we were like, anyways, we're not the best at this. Should we just have dinner now?
Why not? Like,
but I think it's also, like, I don't know. She was like, I'm not good at it. And it's like, yeah, but we also, like, just started it, and just... we kind of have to practice it a little bit. So, we'll do it again, and whatever. It was fun.
See what happens.
Yeah.
That's fun.
What'd you do?
A good time. Well, if you look at my t-shirt, I just got back from, I like to joke and say it was a PR event. I went and saw some friends play at, they were doing like at a brewery that was open for like 3 years and they shouted us out. So that was something really fun. It felt really good being recognized by people.
What kind of band are they? Like, what kind of music
do they do? Like, cover of, like, pop and, like, emo stuff. Oh, like, okay. You know, like, the shit we used to listen to. Like, my mom doesn't get me.
Yeah.
What does it all mean? So we went there, and he was like, I'm giving you a t-shirt. And I'm like, cool. So I took pictures, and I'll post them.
Nice.
But, yeah.
Free merch and a shout-out.
Is life any better? It's not. It's not at all.
He should have signed it for you.
Honestly... kind of mad he didn't, so
gonna be like,
Chris,
time.
We need to figure this out because it's not working for me. And he'll like, what's not working? I'm like, you should know.
Give him a Sharpie and be like, sign
here's a
shirt.
Silver Sharpie, yeah. Sign the shirt, bingo bango, here we go. But yeah, that was
nice.
Just something different.
And it was actually nice out today.
It was so like pretty out.
100 mile per hour fucking winds.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was like really nice. And like, we went to, like, breakfast, and it was, like, fun and all, but, like, then we went home, and Keith was like, ooh, I'm hot, and he, like, changed into, like, a t-shirt and shorts, and I was like...
yeah, I got, like, a sunburn, look. When I was doing my research, I was sitting outside. It's only, like, this one side of me for some reason.
It's not too bad.
It'll fade.
Well, it's good to get some vitamin D.
Vitamin D. I feel like if I was ever a DJ, that would be my DJ name. Vitamin D.
Yeah, I give you the D you need. And everyone's like, dick, and you're like, no, Danae. Noah. Oh, it's my Danae. God, you're disgusting.
I don't even have a dick.
And if I did, I'd be bigger than yours. you should be Vitamin D. We're going to start you on a DJ career.
DJ,
you're like, I can't record, and I'll be like, bitch. The dogs are currently fighting.
Yeah, they're, like, playing the game of let me bite your face.
Keith is trying to break it up. Okay, cool.
We just gotta grabbing Jonesy because she likes to instigate as well. She pretends like she's innocent. And she's
like,
not...
what?
I would never. Meanwhile, biting George's face.
She's like, I would never. Hold on, I have
Hold
to bite
on.
Her.
I have to bite her face now.
Like, no, it's Gosh, you're fine.
They always do this, like, as soon as we start.
They're like, what's annoying? Oh, fighting? Let's do it.
Well, what are you telling me about today?
Well, I'm going to talk about Larissa Schuster.
I have no
idea anything about it. No. The acid lady?
Acid lady.
Dun, dun. Well, you'll figure out
like
why.
Like, she did acid?
You'll figure out why.
Okay.
So.
Oh.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
Okay.
It's from South Park.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's Caitlyn Jenner. They'd always say, buckle up, buckaroo. Okay. Anyways, moving on. So I had a lot of different sources, and we'll just have them in the show notes. So I'm kind of going in at a weird point, but there's so much information I can't give too much background, like, on her life and stuff, because there's... Oh. Okay. So in 1982, while working at a nursing home and going to school at University of Missouri for biochemistry, Larissa met a nursing student also going to the University of Missouri, and his name was Timothy Schuster, and the two had fallen in love.
As you do in college, you know?
Yeah, and I'm going to refer to him as Tim or Timothy, so if you hear both either of those, sure, just know it's the same guy.
Big Tim.
Yeah.
BT.
So in 1989, the best year in the world, the two had moved to Fresno, California, and Larissa was working at an agricultural research lab.
I've been there. I've been to Fresno.
What thoughts?
It was actually cooler than I thought.
Okay.
The food was amazing. They had really good food places. And they have this place where it's like this dude. I forget where he was from originally, but basically he like... came out west, you know, when everyone was doing that, and he wanted to be a farmer, but the soil is trash, so he built this like whole underground
in Fresno.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's like an orange tree, lemon tree, citrus sort of thing underground, and he like lived there. It's super cool.
Interesting.
And it's gorgeous. Like, there's flowers everywhere. It's like, I forget what it's called, but it's super, super cool.
That sounds really cool. I've never been.
Yeah.
I tried to do a little bit of research, but I was like, yeah, Fresno. Everyone normal that travels knows about Fresno. But yeah, they went from Missouri to Fresno, which I'm sure was like quite a big
difference.
Change in weather and everything. So Tim was working at a hospital in the cardiac wing. And in 1997, that sounded weird, I don't know why. 8 years later, with the help of Timothy, Larissa started a chemical lab, like her own. And it was kind of like together, you know, they combined like finances and everything.
Sure.
And she had like the background in biochemistry, so she was kind of like obviously the one that ran it. But yeah, let me be clear though, they owned it together. So it was not just hers, and it wasn't just his.
Right, it was a co-ownership.
Yeah.
So wait, did you say they were married? I'm sorry.
They were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Somewhere in, like, 1982. I tried to look. That's when they met, but they didn't get married.
What was that?
That was a text message.
That was really intense.
It is. I know. I get stressed out a lot. And it's like, why? Oh, your text tone? Probably.
It sounds like something terrible is about to happen in a horror movie.
It is.
Okay, yeah.
You're about to hear something horrible, so I honestly was just playing that to, like, set the mood.
Okay, yeah.
So they owned it together, but obviously she was the one who ran it because of her background.
Sure.
He stayed home with their two kids, Kristen and Tyler, and Kristen at this point was, I think, like 17 or 18. Like, she was kind of like not a kid anymore, and Tyler was like 12 or something.
Sure.
It's not super clear when they were born, but just know, like, they're not, like, little baby kids.
Okay.
But he was still staying home. But it was an agreement that worked for both of them. You know, him staying at home, being the stay-at-home dad, and her working. But like most teens, Kristen started rebelling. And she was shipped to Missouri to live with Larissa's parents.
Oh.
And Tim didn't really have a say in this. But
shipped her off to...
In a documentary I was watching, she was like most teens, I became problematic or whatever and was like doing my own thing, and they made me go live in Missouri with her grandparents, which it sounds like it was a good decision because she seems like a really great adult, but obviously, you know, kids go through stuff. So we're just gonna fast forward. So in 2002, the two were living in Clovis, California, which is a really nice area to look at. And I looked it up because I'm like, well, they're in Fresno, now they're in Clovis. And I was just like, what's the difference? And it seems like it was just kind of out of Fresno. Like, it was just kind of the suburbs, you know, like Littleton, Denver kind of thing, situation. So, but things weren't so sweet and shiny because the two of them had decided to get a divorce.
Oh. Sad day.
So sad. Larissa's increasing unreasonable demands and shipping off Kristen played a big role in the divorce of, like, what was going on. Yeah,
that seems kind
of
weird that he had no say in it, even though he's a parent as well.
It's like, not like her kid and he was, like, stepdad or something, which would make sense, but when it's your kids,
like, a mutual decision that you make together as, like, a married couple.
And it doesn't go into, like, what Kristen was doing to, like... So I can't say, like, if it was, like, oh, they just didn't want to be parents or whatever, or if it was really bad. So I just don't really know, like, if it was bad enough that they needed to move her or whatever. But anyways, but Larissa was not a nice person to Tim.
Oh.
But she was always screaming and just wasn't a fun person to be around. She had just crazy demands for him. Like
what?
Like, he was a stay-at-home dad and she would just, she would... Like, a cup would be left out, and she's like, what the fuck? You know, like, freak out about, like, little things.
Okay. So like, she just, was like, you know, why isn't dinner made?
Yeah, that kind of shit. Yeah. It's like, you're gonna survive. But she just wasn't, it just wasn't working out, and he was uncomfortable, and she was super controlling over the company, and it just wasn't worth it to him at that point. I mean, he would have liked to work it out and, like, figure things out, but again, sometimes you just gotta
take the L, you know?
Let it go. Yeah, exactly. So he went back to being a nurse, because obviously he wasn't, you know, watching over the house and everything. But it sounded like he had a lot of good friends and coworkers that were supportive during this time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Because it's like... going through it.
I'm so curious, like, what is gonna happen?
Oh, get ready. So he moved out of the house and he let her have the house, not after trying to, like, figure it out, but at that point, so he kind of moved into a combo. He moved into, like, a condo apartment kind of thing. I didn't really, like, see pictures of it. They would, like, dramatize stuff.
Sure.
And she also got primary custody of Tyler. And Tyler at this time was 12 and Kristen at this time was 18. So I kind of, like, mixed up the times. But yeah, Larissa would get some, like, sick pleasure in, like, breaking into his house and, like, stealing stuff. Yeah, she would, like, break in. Yeah, I know.
What are you doing?
You got the house.
Like, leave the man alone.
Yeah, you're fine. So she would, like, break in and, like, steal stuff and, like, thought it was, like, fun.
That's unhinged.
She told people it was a pleasure better than sex. Breaking into his house and, like, nothing happening to her, stealing stuff. And,
girl,
like,
get some help.
Yeah. Maybe have better sex. I don't know.
Yeah, like, what kind of terrible sex are you having?
Yeah, exactly.
Where B&E's are, like, turning you on.
I know. Clearly you need a new partner.
He's like, Larissa, stop breaking into my house. Yeah, I know, like, it's you.
Yeah, who else? Who else is stealing your grandma's doilies and shit? Like,
you're, like, bragging to people about how it's, like, so orgasmic. Like, oh, what are you talking crazy. About?
It's funny you say bragging. I'll get to that. Oh. But, like, but she was stealing things that, like, belonged to both of them. Like, a mixing bowl. Like, stupid shit. Like, mixing bowls and stuff like
She's
that.
She's like, this is actually my fork.
I'm pretty sure when we were married, they equally gave this to both of us. And it's like, you're gonna...
Oh, wow.
Baby girl, let it go.
Buy a new mixing
bowl. Yeah, you're, like, gonna be fine.
What?
And she told just everyone that she would break in. Like, she just told her manicurist, like, all the time. It's like, she, like, would go to the manicurist weekly and be like, guess what I did again?
She's like, let me guess. You broke into your ex's condo again. What did you steal this time?
Oh, cool. Wow. That's so crazy.
That's
and cool
so
of
weird.
You. It's so weird. So weird. Okay. But he didn't press charges because he didn't care. And also, he didn't want to, like, do,
you know,
go through
the
legal stuff.
More...
It was like, I'll just let her have it versus, like, suing her and paying money.
Sounds like she's a pain in the ass.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah. And she needed help with her 12-year-old Tyler and got some help from a 20-year-old lab technician named James Fagoni.
Oh, is she fucking James?
No, but like. Oh.
Why are you asking a 20-year-old man for help? Like, no offense.
Do you? I would rather ask a 12-year-old, like, female girl. Child than it. Anyways, it worked out fine, I guess.
So he's, like, babysitting Tyler? Or...
Yeah, because she, like, doesn't have Tim at home anymore.
Right.
So she's like, oh, let me ask a lab technician that I guarantee she's underpaying because she just sounds like that kind of person.
I feel like a latchkey kid in saying that, like, I'm sorry, when you're 12, like, you can be home alone.
You can.
For, like, the amount of time you get home from school and then your mom gets home from work, like, you're good.
You're gonna do just fine.
Yeah. I was babysitting other children at 12.
I was, like, reading something online. I don't know where it was, but they were, like, talking about the babysitter of the person's 15-year-old. And I'm like, okay. What is your 15-year-old doing?
Wait, someone was babysitting a 15-year-old? Yeah. No, you should... I'm sorry.
That would be more uncomfortable that I don't... 15-year-old, like, if your kid is 15 and can't stay home, there has to be something, like...
They can't make themselves, like, ramen and watch a show until you get home. Like,
I could do that at 9. Like,
yeah, no. It was like, fine. And we did.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some questionable things sometimes, but...
Well, I'm looking at Keith, and I'm looking at you. What? I'm sorry. Yeah. Quickly, I need the story. Okay,
so one time we were playing hide and seek.
It doesn't shock me, I'll be honest.
So we had one of those houses where, like, there's the second story, but you can look over the banister and see
the first floor. Is this the one in Lone Tree?
Yeah.
We drove past that house.
Like, yeah. So we're playing hide and seek, and we're playing, like, the one where it's, like,
hide and go see tag,
the base, you know? And so you would, like, sneak out of your hiding spot and then get to the base before seeker tried to get you. So the round previously, Eric's friend Lance told Keith that he, like, made it to the base by, like, jumping off the banister because he got there really quickly.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. So then the next round,
Lance's number? I'm going to yell at him.
Of course. We hear this loud fucking thump. The whole house shook. I remember I was hiding in my mom's room and I, like, remember being like, what was that? And so I, like, rush out and then Keith's, like, on the ground, like, crying.
He's giggling, like, right now. He's laughing. He's like,
I jumped off because Lance said,
oh my
and
God.
He, like, hurt his ankle and, like,
wait, is this the same ankle? Like,
maybe. He was, like, limping around. And my mom was like, what happened to you? And we were like, shut the fuck up, Keith. Don't say anything.
Like, should we let her know now? Let's call Colleen.
So, yeah, Keith jumped off the banister.
Oh, my God. That's probably what happened with his ankle last year.
It's probably, like, re-traumatized.
Broken. Yeah. This explains so many things.
Yeah.
Keith is doing hand signals. He refuses to talk when we're recording. Like, he doesn't exist or something.
I was safe.
Yeah, he was safe.
You can't tag somebody if they're limping. Like, let's be real.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. That was a huge tangent.
I needed the story. Oh, my God. I'm going to fight Lance. So Tim was having a rough time. But to fight the divorce proceedings, just to kind of help him out, because, like, homeboy needs a leg up, he would record the phone calls with Larissa, where she would say the most disgusting, vile things.
Okay, that's smart, though. He,
like,
should.
She'd call him, like, the bad F word. Like, the bad F.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm talking about. Like, the one we don't like. And just, like, a pussy. Just, like...
demeaning, horrible
things. Yeah, and it
was
just, like, the way she was saying it. I don't know. Like, they were playing it on the documentary I was watching, and I was like, God, she's disgusting.
Sucks.
Just so unnecessary. And, like, I get it, you're going through a divorce.
Why is she being so mean?
You don't need to be mean. And she's like, I hate you more than I hate most people. And I'm like, oh no.
Okay.
Like, good. Thanks. Stay away. Yeah, thank y'all.
And stop breaking into my house, you
fucking psycho. But then at his job, there's a talk about layoffs.
Oh no.
At the hospital. And he and his really good friend Mary, who seems like a really good friend. Like, they had really funny, adorable pictures together. But they were on the chopping block.
Oh.
But at this time, so in July 9th, it's kind of like when they figured it out. And it wasn't super clear if they were laid off yet or if they were, like, talking about being laid off. But yeah, they were either already laid off or about to be. It's not super clear, but they were supposed to meet with HR. And Tim and Mary were going to meet beforehand for, like, breakfast. And this was July 10th.
Okay.
And Tim never showed up to breakfast.
Oh.
And it wasn't like him. Like, Mary was like, huh.
This is weird.
Yeah. And they interviewed her.
Oh.
And, yeah, so he never showed up. And she thought, you know, maybe he had a lot on his mind. You know, they were going through something. So she's like, maybe it's just, you know, he's not here.
And this was, what, like, early 2000s?
Yeah, early 2000s.
Okay, so they had cell phones, but, like...
But it wasn't like it is now.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. But, yeah, so he didn't meet for breakfast, and he didn't meet at, like, HR at the hospital. And that's when Mary thought it was weird.
Yeah.
She kind of gave him a pass because, like, maybe they weren't clear, you know?
Sure.
And, but he was unreachable. And Mary called Tim's friends to go check on him because it's like, he's going through it.
Yeah.
He's going through a divorce. He's going through getting laid off. He's mm-hmm. going through a custody battle with his child. He's having a really rough time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she had him go. She had his friends go check on him. And he wasn't there. His phone was there. His wallet was there.
Oh, no.
He was not. And they said it was kind of strange to... not like for him to not have his phone on him,
right?
So they were just kind of weirded out. They're like, he always would have his phone. So after a while, his friends were like, we didn't find him. So Mary decided to come to the house with one of his friends, Bob, and then they called the police. What do you think the police said?
You have to wait. We don't care. We're not gonna do our job.
You have to wait 24 hours. So they're like, that's fine. We haven't seen him in 24 hours, but we'll wait 24 hours. And exactly the minute that it was 24 hours, she called and filed a missing persons report. Good fucking friends, if you ask me.
Yeah.
So
that's such a stupid rule. I know we talk about that all the time, but
it's just...
For what?
And I think, and I don't know for sure, because I've heard varying things. I think they've changed it.
Yeah.
Because there are things, like, if somebody's going through, like, a mental health crisis,
it's time
which...
sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. Because they used to do that for people with, like, dementia. And it's like, when somebody with dementia wanders off, you need to immediately...
Yeah.
Or, like, a kid, because, you know. Anyways, so I know that in some places they've changed it. I don't know if everywhere they've changed it. But... Yeah, so many things were going on with him. Like, I would absolutely be like, we need to figure this out right away.
Yeah.
So, the first person the police called, who do you think it was?
Fucking Larissa.
Yep.
She was like,
last
oh,
night
no.
we were watching the documentary, I looked at Keith, I was like, who do you think they called first? He's like, fucking Lisa. I was like, they called Lisa, then they called Larissa.
He's like, who's Lisa? Like,
well, I mean, he was listening. Yeah. At least you knew, like, it started with an L. And we were just, like, laughing. I was like, yep. And then they called Larissa right after.
She do, like, some really bad acting. Like, oh, my gosh, I have no idea where he is.
Probably. She didn't know where he was, Danae.
What?
Oh, my God.
Why would I know? I only stalk him and break and enter into his home every week.
I said she was a lying liar.
She was definitely a lying liar.
She said she hadn't talked to him and she had a call to him the morning he disappeared. And she tried to say she may have fallen asleep and butt dialed him.
Right, right. Your butt just like...
They asked to see her phone and she said it was left at home.
Dude,
I'm sorry, the story gets better. So police officer's like, yes, it is. And they're questioning her. And a police officer goes down in the parking lot, finds where her car is, sees a phone.
Oh, God.
Dials it, sees it light up. And he's like, oh, weird.
Interesting.
Her phone is there.
Wow.
So they said, stop lying, grab your phone. And it turns out it wasn't a speed dial because they went through her phone. They're like, what's speed dial number two? Oh, your mom, speed dial number three. Oh, your daughter, speed dial. Like, he wasn't on any
on
of her
list,
speed dials.
So, like, how do you butt dial someone?
Which is super weird, because, like, I don't know. Like, if it's somebody, anyways, whatever. And they asked her if she had something to do with it. She said, nay, I do not.
Nay, I do not. Right,
I don't know why
right.
I put that in
We're
the notes.
We're totally believing you.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like, of course she didn't. So.
It's not like she said she hated him. more yeah, than
and then
anything.
Told people she wanted him dead all the time.
Oh no.
Especially her nail technician.
Wow, her nail tech knows all the tea.
Yeah, like when in doubt, tell your nail technician everything. So she had a conversation with her friend, and they actually interviewed this friend on the documentary, and it was really good. And her friend told her that they could do a search warrant, and they would look at the house, and then they could look at her office. And she suddenly was like, what?
Wait, what?
And her friend's like, yeah. And she's like, oh my god, I need to do payroll. Can you watch Tyler? And her friend was like, yeah, but for like a little bit, but I need to go.
Yeah.
And she's like, payroll, you know how it is.
You know, I have to do payroll.
So she ran off to the office. And I just don't think that was suspicious at all.
Just like all of a sudden being like, yeah, just, wait, they could check things? I gotta go.
Yeah, that's totally normal, right?
I have things to do.
I have to wash my hair.
Okay, bye.
So Monday morning rolls around and her friend goes to work, and she works at the same company as her. Yeah. And a chemist named Leslie tells her friend that Larissa showed up to the office Saturday and Leslie just happened to be there. I don't know. She's probably doing work or catching up on stuff.
Okay.
But Leslie just happened to be there, and Larissa told her she needed to rent a U-Haul under her name for Larissa to use. So she's like, Miss Leslie, I need you. Yeah.
Don't be suspicious. Like, literally, you're making yourself so suspicious.
And Leslie was like,
what?
She's the company owner. I'm not going to ask her on it, but.
Really? I would.
Anyone would, but we're not going to hate on Leslie, because you'll see why.
Okay.
So the cops were searching Tim's house, because they're like, where is he?
Sure.
You know, the initial investigation. And they found a Palm Pilot, like, you know.
Wow, that's old school.
I know, right? When they said Palm Pilot, I'm like, oh, what?
Yeah, that brought back memories. Jesus.
And they saw the name James Fagoni.
Uh-oh. The babysitter guy?
Yeah. In his Palm Pilot. And they were like, And they decided to question. But keep in mind, he did watch Tyler.
Sure.
So okay. I'm sure he had the name just to ask questions or, you know, emergency contact information.
Absolutely. That makes sense.
So as much as it's like, that's weird, you kind of like think about it and you're like, well.
Well, if he's babysitting their kid, then he should probably know who that
exactly.
guy is.
So he immediately admitted that he had helped Larissa break into Tim's condo, and she even encouraged him to take stuff for himself.
Oh my god.
Like,
she's
like,
worst.
You can take the fucking TV or take like electronics. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the police didn't really have anything to hold on him, because they're like, well, we have a missing persons. We'll worry about the, like,
the small stuff later. We've got more important things right now.
Stealing stuff later. Yeah. So a few days pass, and the chemist Leslie decides to come forward with the info about renting the truck. That's why I'm like, let's not hate. And I'm sure she, like, thought about it, and she found out he was missing, and she's
like, and she was
okay.
Like, this is weird.
Because I'm sure Larissa was like, oh, we're moving lab stuff. I just need you to do it. You know?
She probably had
I'm sure. And I don't know, but Leslie was like, I'm going to go forward, because she found out more information. And then she told them she believes she has a storage unit in kind of the area where she was thinking. And I thought this was weird that they suddenly knew what storage unit it was and they knew which one it was.
Oh.
That they didn't really cover that. They were like, then they went to a storage unit. And I'm like, okay, how did they find out which one it is? If it's hers, whatever.
Small
anyways.
Details.
But I was kind of like, okay. And they go to the area. They believe the unit is. And immediately there's a strong smell outside of it.
Oh, no.
Which is insane to me, because, like, it's outside. It's, like, one of those storage units that, like, aren't U-Haul, where it's, like, inside. It's, like, individual, like, garages, if you will.
Oh, no.
And they go into the unit, and they see a big blue barrel.
No. Larissa.
Who's to say what's in it? We don't know.
I think we all know.
We don't. So they secure the area and do a search.
Just a non-suspicious barrel.
What's in the barrel? What do you think's in the barrel?
Body. I think it's Tim.
I think it's donuts. Let's find out. I think you can guess. Yeah, the only things that were still in there was the torso and the legs. Not the feet.
Not the feet.
The feet were cut off.
Why did she cut the feet off?
Because he couldn't fit in.
That's
random. Anyways.
Oh. Oh no, that's awful.
But it was hydrochloric acid, which is produced naturally in the stomach and is your stomach acid. However, this is more concentrated. So it's heavier. Yeah. We've all had acidy stomachs. I mean, I have an acidy life because hashtag stomach aches all the time. Mm-hmm. But like, that shit's rough when it's so watered down. Ugh. But this is like highly concentrated.
Yeah.
And also, like, our stomach acids would eat through our stomachs if they weren't, like, as
constant. Yeah, like, you know, if you get shot in the stomach or whatever, then, yeah, like, the acid, like, eats through. Or it's, like, really painful and terrible
way, yeah, to die. But, like, they're not as concentrated as that because, like, then they would eat through, like, your esophagus. Yeah. All that fun stuff. Anyways, I just want to give a little bit of science where I can. So.
Well, and she obviously knows that. She's a biochemist.
Exactly. So, a perfect crime.
Or except they for not, because she was an idiot.
But, I mean, like, people said it was, like, a horror movie. They're like, this doesn't happen in real life. This is, like, a fake horror movie. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I'm sure somebody's screaming where they dissolve a body, but I know I've seen movies where, like, they do that.
I remember. Two-Face, he, like, fell in the acid.
But he survived.
He did survive, only got half his face.
And he flips a coin now. So
that's like that. Have you heard of the, it's like similar to, there's another case like this where like a guy found a barrel like in his basement and it was like a lady
from 1969.
Yeah,
I was listening to my favorite murder and they were talking about that today. Yeah. So it's super weird that this happened. I literally listened to the listener tales or whatever where they talk about it today. Isn't that creepy? Yeah,
that is weird.
Yeah, and it was there for 30 years. It weighed mm-hmm. like 300 pounds and the garbage men took it. Yeah. That's creepy that I listened to that today. I was like, that correlates. So right when you said, I was like, oh shit, do I have information for you? But yeah, they just said it was so fucked up and they also found like chloroform.
So she like, yeah, because she would have to, you know, somehow get him to get in there.
And right? I'll get into, like, what happened.
Yeah.
So, baby girl was on a trip to Missouri. And she was, like, weirdly, like, I need to go on this trip. And
just, you know, casually leaving the state. Tim's not going to let me
take Tyler, but I'm going to take Tyler. Oh, God. Yeah. So, but she was, like, seeing her family. So, they brought James in for more questioning. And he said that he brought a stun gun.
Oh, God.
And Larissa was able to get Tim to come out of the house by telling him that their son Tyler was sick. And she's like, I need you to come out.
That is so fucked up.
And at this point, he had his own house. And he was, like, getting his life together. And she chloroformed him. And, you know, he got stun gunned, if you will. And,
wow.
She threw him in the back of the truck, brought him to her house, and threw him in the bucket and put the acid on him.
God.
So they, like, don't know if she killed him before, but it is highly believed homeboy was still alive. And she just, like, toppled him over into the into the bucket and just started pouring acid on him.
That is so terrifying.
And, yeah, they don't know if he was alive or dead. I hope he was dead.
Oh, God.
But, again,
what a terrible way
terrible way. But James said he was thrown in head first and she just kept dumping bottles of acid on him.
Oh my God.
And after she was done, she like cut off his feet because they wouldn't fit. And she put him in the tool shed. And a few days later, she moved him to the lab with James's help.
Why did James say yes to this?
Like, he's 20 and he's stupid. How did he
get coerced into this?
You know, it doesn't make sense because it's not like they were hooking up. Because if they're hooking up, there's
a little bit more, like, I could kind of see it.
I'm wondering, and this is just me wondering, and this is not proven or anything, if he was getting extra money for this.
Oh, maybe.
Because, like, or...
But still, dude, like...
Well, they do kind of get into, like, where... Here, you'll hear.
Yeah.
So, he helped her, and, they went to the lab and she added even more acid. And after her friend mentioned that they could get a search warrant,
she's like, wait, what?
She was like, you know, doing payroll and being super not suspicious. Fake. She was actually taking Tim and putting him in the storage unit.
Yeah.
And she tried to get James to rent the truck. And James was like,
I've done enough, lady.
He has done enough. But he refused to help anymore. James was okay with robbing him. He wasn't okay with killing him. He didn't know that was what they were doing that night. That's what he says. Those are two
totally huge, different things.
But he didn't know. He thought they were just, like, breaking into his house and, like, gonna rob him, not kill him.
Yeah.
So he says, but let's be real. She told everyone she wanted her ex-husband dead. So I don't know if she was coming home or what the situation was, but they arrested her in the St. Louis airport, and she was extradited back to California. James was cooperating with the cops, but they found the stun gun. He was like, we threw the stun gun in a porta potty, and they found it.
Well, I mean, that's...
I do not envy the cop.
I was just saying that. Whoever had to go down in there and find it. Yeah, I don't
envy them at all.
You could not pay me enough money to do that.
Like, I'm quitting today.
Nope. Sorry.
I'm sure they used a net or something, but they, still so gross. They, got an intern
to do it.
An unpaid intern.
They're like, so your task today...
And we will pass you with college credit. Ooh.
Oh, God.
So... behind the lab, they found empty acid bottles.
She didn't even throw them. Girl.
They were probably, like, in the trash, but they found them, still, like, yeah. Like, but
is this, like, a fucking Scooby-Doo
crime? Amateur, you know, hour. Like, Rookie, roo.
My evidence everywhere.
And they were
I'm glad
able,
she did, though.
Yeah,
I'm glad she
same,
was,
right?
Like, making it so easy for them, like, to piece it all
try
together.
Try to say that shit circumstantial.
Yeah.
And they found a receipt for all the acid and an acid-resistant barrel in the lab.
Wow.
And you know, she was like, this is for work. And they're like, bitch, you use one bottle of acid a year. You don't use, like, six.
Yeah.
And who knows how many she bought.
Well, probably a lot if you're trying to cover a whole body.
It says the lab only used 1 gallon of acid a year, so this is very suspicious. They use acid to clean test tubes.
Oh, yeah.
There are also not tests going on that needed acid, so it wasn't like there was an unusually, like, large need for acid.
No, she's just completely setting herself up.
So they gave James a plea because he helped them out a lot. Okay. And his trial took place in 2007, and he was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You killed someone. You helped kill someone. Like, I feel like at any point you could have been like, hey, wait, we're killing him? Bye.
Or said something to the cops.
Yeah.
And I think he was like, because he did, like, when they asked him questions, but he didn't go out of his way.
Yeah.
And anyways, but he gave them a lot of insight into what happened. So for him, I was like, okay, I'm a little more understanding of that. So Larissa's case started in October 2007, and they did a change of venue because the venue that they were going to use for hers was very small, so that she was like, I want to be, you know, because you need to kind of take them out, and I get why they did. Her manicurist went on the stand.
That's awesome.
Was like, she has said her husband wanted to, like, and you know, the big thing was she didn't want to share the business with him, and she didn't want to share custody of Tyler.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question, is, like, what was, like, the motive other than her just, like, hating him for, like, whatever?
But she played the jury for a while. Like, I listened to a podcast with Keith Morrison, love him so much. And they were talking about how, like, the jury was just, like, really liked her.
Ugh.
Which I'm like, okay. I see pictures of her, and I'm like, she looks crazy, because I'm mean. And one of the jurors, like, gave her a thumbs up after she did her testimony.
What?
But they didn't, like, dismiss that juror.
Are you allowed
which
to
they
do that?
No, you shouldn't be.
I feel like you shouldn't be interacting like that. That's
weird. But the good news is, the manicurist was like, she wanted her husband dead. Her friend that told her about the search was like, yeah, she ran off pretty fucking quick to figure that out.
Yeah.
Her friend doesn't look like she says fucking, so sorry to her friend, Tammy. I think. Anyways. But they played her disgusting voicemails to him. Like,
oh, wow.
The stuff she would say. And I think that swayed anyone because they were like, holy shit, like, she's abusive. Like, she
terrible.
Sounds mean. She's like, you're lower than dirt. Like, that's a nice thing she said to him.
Oh, God.
But yeah, they had a lot of people that testified against her because none of that
I
added
mean,
up.
She was like, fully, like, transparent with, like, a lot of people that
she would
did not
tell
like
anyone she crossed paths with that she hated her husband and wanted him dead.
That's so horrible.
Like, I'm not claiming I'm smart, but if I was gonna kill somebody, I'd be like, my lovely husband, Like,
yeah, she just,
like,
why is she telling everyone?
Why are you telling everyone that you hate him?
Like, now like, all these people have this. Like,
yeah,
like,
and that,
well, she told me.
Ultimately, like, helped her get.
Good. I'm glad that it did, though.
Yeah, I'm glad she's stupid. So December 10th, jurors were deliberating, and Kristen, his daughter, who loved him, she read an impact statement, and she just told her she was done with her for life. She's like, maybe I'll forgive you, but don't count on it. Fucking bye.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they didn't really go into, like, Tyler's thoughts and everything, but it was really sad, and, you know, his friends were pretty devastated, and they sounded like really good friends that were, like, there for him. But, yeah, he unfortunately lost his life because crazy Larissa, and she's in jail for life.
Good.
There was talk about like death row, but no, she's in no parole.
Good.
She can spend all that time.
That's terrible for her kids too. Like that family is like ruined.
I don't understand murder in general.
Yeah. Just
in general, even with people you hate, but I really don't understand it. Like even if you hate the person, like the father of your children.
Yeah.
Like, say what you want about them. You also picked them. So,
right.
Like, think about that. Yeah. They need their parent. Like, yeah. They need that person. Like,
you've scarred your children for life.
Is your custody over your son that's almost of age anyway that important? And that company? Really?
Well, and it sounds like she didn't even really want the custody just because, like, Tim was a bad parent or anything. It was, like, just so that she
control.
Could, like, hurt him.
Yeah. So, the whole thing is just insane, and it's like a movie. Just
yeah,
she burned him in acid. That's psychotic. I don't know how she thought she was gonna get away with it either.
No,
none of that makes sense.
She clearly was not thinking things through in a rational way.
No,
at all.
No.
Ugh.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So that was a rough one, but just kind of tells you. You try to commit murder, you probably won't get away with it, so don't try to commit murder.
Yeah, maybe just, like, go to therapy or something.
Just breathe.
Maybe meet a new man. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I know James wasn't into you, but that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of fish in the sea. Match.com maybe existed. eHarmony, who's to say? I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. So, but yeah.
Crazy.
It would have been cool if he could have, like, married someone that was, like, nice to him.
Yeah.
And, like, experience that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, damn. If you want to see pictures of the people, you can follow us on Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod.
You can email us your stories, your suggestions, or just say hi at MysteriousMavensPod@gmail.com.
We also have a Facebook group. It's not taking off. I would laugh if it did. So you can follow that, just Mysterious Mavens Podcast, I think is what it's fully called. But yeah,
hit us up on the social meds.
Yeah, and please take care of yourselves. That's super important to us.
Yeah.
So okay. All right, bye.
That was fucked up.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
so gross.
Ugh.